Praise God. Yes, go for it, buddy. Love the hair. Well, we're starting a new series today, and I just want to encourage you. Lately, we've been talking kind of about exterior things, and this week we're going to talk about interior. We're going to talk about the inner workings, and I want to just throw this statement out there. You've heard me probably say this week or send it out, but what makes a heart haunted is what is hidden in the heart. So what makes a heart hidden is what is hidden in the heart. And honestly, church, the things that are hidden in your heart, in my heart, those things that no one else knows about, those are the things that have the most power over us. Why? Because they're hidden. Why? Because no light is present. Why? Because it's the greatest playing field for the enemy. Well, what do you mean? Well, we've talked a lot about, like, hey, if you're in an abusive situation, then let us partner with you, right? And put up boundaries and put up limits. And let's say maybe you're in addiction. Well, then don't go to these places. So we're going to help you go to these places instead. And we're going to help you take friendships that weren't healthy for you. And we're going to move friendships over here. And we're going to think about it, right? All what? Exterior. All things that we can say, hey, don't come in. Hey, you don't have the right to, hey, you don't have the, but when it comes to the heart, when it comes to the real inner parts of who we are, that's harder to say, hey, let's put up some. And so today we're going to look at some words. Now, if you really study the Bible, you're going to see, like, when you think about David and Paul and others, it's like one day they're here, one day they're there, one day they're here. You ever been there in life before? Like, one day you're on fire and one day you're like, you know what I mean? It's like, let's just say yes. Y'all been there, right? Okay, it might be tomorrow. You might be like, and then tomorrow, ah. I want to just talk to you a minute here about David. Now, when you look at the Psalms, it's always important to understand what's actually happening in the life of David when he's writing the Psalm, okay? I think sometimes we just hold on to those Psalms and we forget what he was going through. And honestly, I think that most of you in here at some point have heard, right, that David was a man after God's own heart. Yes, okay, so you did. That's good, right? So Bible 101 is done. That's the same David that, like, David and Goliath, and then the same David that before that, as a little shepherd boy, he was able to kill these monstrous animals that came against. And so a guy with a lot of faith, and not only a guy with a lot of faith, a guy with a lot of, like, strength and ability and know-how and wisdom. In fact, it's the same guy that basically went up to the president, related to today, right, and said, hey, God's got this. Hey, I don't know why you would see the, and then we come up to, and I want you to get this, we come up to Psalm 55. Now, Psalm 55 is kind of a season in his life where there is an enemy that's rising up and coming in, and all of a sudden, his eyes are fixed on that enemy, and things do look rough, and if you look at it, they were rough. And then he goes into verse 4 of Psalm 55, and I'm not going to give it away, but when you translate it and look at it from the way he's saying it, it's fascinating. You ever, like, are in a situation and you remove yourself, and, like, the situation's happening, then you mentally go back to something else? Well, that's what happens here in Psalm 55. And so if you've got that, we're going to read verses 4 through 8, if you would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. Don't you love October? Did you know, just a side note before we read this, because this is going to be a tough lesson today, did you know that our pumpkin spice lattes and all that, instead of using, like, artificial stuff, it's actually, the base is pumpkin puree organic out of the can. Isn't that exciting? I threw in the organic. I'm not sure if we're buying the cheap brand or the organic, but at least the coffee beans are mission-based, going to world missions. Anyway, all right, Psalm 4, or 55, verse 4. My heart, now mind you, he just, in the first four verses, he talked about all these enemies coming his way. Then in verse 4, he goes, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Now, wait a minute. It's the same guy that said, like, death has no victory over me because I'm God's. Wow, like, all of a sudden it's changed. Fear and trembling come upon me. And horror, what a word, right? And horror. Have you ever been in a place like that where, like, horror is coming your way? It overwhelms me. And then I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away. Think about this. In his mind, it's like a coping mechanism. He's basically saying, I would fly away, and then I would be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. Not only would I wander, but in order to get away from the anguish, I would lodge. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest before me. God, today, God, just let your fullness come in. God, we trust you. God, we know that there is a battlefield. There's a battlefield of the heart. Often we talk about the mind, we talk about what's outside of us, and we forget to talk about the battlefield of the heart. And so today, in the name of Jesus, we've trusted all 2 hours with you, and on to the third, we just entrust this time to you and just pray that people could see and hear and know your ways for their hearts. God, let them see in the midst of me, and let them just see your will and your way and your hope and your desire for them. Let us open up some closets. Let us open up some dark places in our hearts, and let us come against the enemy and the strength and power that you give us and cast him out today. And we just pray right now you'd let this be a holy hour. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Okay, so I said to you, I want to show you why 4 through 8 is kind of him stepping away from what's really happening. Well, I didn't think about this, and I didn't really understand it when I was looking at the Beacon Hill commentary, which is the Nazarene commentary. Anyway, they were talking about how in 4 to 8, he's actually referring to Genesis. He's actually referring to the beginning of time. Interesting that she said that this morning, but he was talking about being in the pains of labor. Now, David doesn't know about that, right? Ladies, say amen, okay? Amen. He don't know none about that. And so anyway, I'll be in pain sometimes. My wife will say, baby, you never had a baby, so your pain is... I'm like, honey, give me a little bit of credit. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. She doesn't. She's always like nice to me and babies me. But anyway, I don't like to throw up. Like, if I'm about to throw up, just know I'm at the weakest point ever. I want to die. I'm like, I get right with the Lord, and I'm like, come on now, Lord, take me before this comes. Because once it comes, it's 24 hours straight, right? No lie, every 20 minutes. Okay. Always been that way. Anyway, I lost my place. Where was I? Okay. Labor pains. So interestingly enough, he was actually referring back to Genesis concerning labor pains and the anguish that women are in when they're in labor. Why is this key? Enemy's coming this way, his mind's going that way. You know where his mind was going? He was saying, I have an enemy against me, but the true enemy is right here. Well, what do you mean? Well, the anguish that he was experiencing, it started previous. Meaning, here's what he's saying. You're ready for it? He was saying, like, months and months and months ago, I let something happen, and it was in my heart, and it's been growing ever since then, and now it's birthed so much so that I can't see and I can't handle the enemy in front of me. You know, I thought about this a year ago. I planned these out a year ahead, and just thinking about this season and thinking about how, like, people actually, like, during the season, like, desire to be, like, scared and haunted and all this mess. And I mean, it's cool and everything, but, like, it isn't, like, that exciting for me. And in fact, right now they say, like, Halloween spending and Christmas spending is getting closer. I'm like, what? Like, what is Halloween? You know what I mean? It's like a maze. But anyway, it's interesting to me that oftentimes what haunts us, and we kind of have a semi-desire to be scared and haunted, and that's really how the enemy works, but there's this idea of David didn't get there overnight. And David steps away from the enemy in front of him, and he's looking at the enemy in him. He's looking at the places within him, because it's the same David, if you remember, the Lord is my strength. That's the David that said that. So David actually with his hands did what? I hate to say this, young people, but like he killed people. In fact, in order to like get somewhere, he killed like 200. And I mean, we could go on and on. This isn't like when he was young, he took care of bears and lions. And so all of a sudden there's an enemy in front of him and it's defeating him. You know why? Because it was defeating him from inside. It wasn't about the enemy. And he steps away in the psalm and he says, it's about what's been happening in me for months and months and months. and church, the things that you're haunted by that we're going to talk about, they don't just come overnight. They don't just like, but boy, when they come, boy, when they show themselves, the anguish that they bring is debilitating. David, man after God's own heart. And why is addressing the heart so important? And during this season of haunting, and we're going to talk about it in the next few weeks with different people in the Bible. And it's because here's the thing. The world looks at, right? We measure what? Height and, just say weight. Okay. So like when you're a baby and you go to the doctor, right? The first time, what do? They measure their height and weight. They want to track them. Like they're in the percentile of like certain things. Like thankfully, you know, when I get weighed, I'm in the 100th percentile. You know what I mean? I've made my weight and then I've exceeded it. Listen, so my asthma medication, this is a side note, has almost run out and I refuse to go to my doctor. And she's like, this is the season you always get. I'm not going, because you know what he says every time? I want, no, every time, right? I'm not lying. He might be watching. Anyway, every time, gosh, huh? I know I don't want to, but every time I go in, he says, you're morbidly obese. And I'm like, so are you. I don't say that, but you know. It's in my head though, every time, like, your gut's bigger than mine. But anyway, God bless him, okay? That was terrible to say, okay? I shouldn't say that, but that's what's in my head. I'm being honest, okay? And so now I've stopped going there because he took a blood test and I was like, I don't care about that either. I'm eating me some pumpkin spice, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. So I don't go to him. But we measure height, we measure weight, we measure success, we measure, if you have extra asthma medication, I'll take it. I'm just kidding. That's terrible too, right? You're not allowed to do that. Don't be sharing meds. Okay. That's a whole nother subject. That's the outside coming in. Anyway, we measure what? Success. We measure what? How we do at work. We measure if you have power. We measure influence. But crazy enough, I mean, God calls us to serve. He calls us to give. He calls us to be in fellowship. He calls us to go out. He calls us to do all those things, right? And I think eventually when we get with him, he's going to talk about those things. But I think from all of Scripture, what I get out of it is that God measures the heart. I think when it comes down to it, and this is where I'm at as a pastor and as a person and as a dad and as a, he's first going to say, hey, Joe, where's your heart been? The hardest times I have with God is when he gets down to the heart and he's like, hey, I've been trying for 9 months to get to you now. See, because God measures the heart. Because he knows the heart can be haunted, it can be crushed, it can be broken, it can be shattered. It can be so many things. Why do you think he spoke? Hey, David, man, there's something about you. And maybe for you today, and I tell her this all the time, one of my bucket list items is that God maybe one day would say that I'm a man after his own heart. But that's a big order. When I look at when David's on, man, he was on. Man, he was like fighting things that and doing things that I just think, wow. But at the same time, he was also a man that said, I can't face what's. And at the same time, he was the man that said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or fear. Man. So today I want you to ask yourself, and only you know this, and church, this is personal. It's nothing I know, it's only what you know. And it's only what you and God know. Just like it's only what God and I know about the things that usually then the next person to know is her, and then she journeys with me. And but what haunts your heart? You're one slide ahead. What haunts your heart? And then what makes the heart haunted? Like, what's haunting you? What's tearing you up? Think about three statements. Because see, we often think these things, right? You can be successful. You can be successful as a parent, as a husband. You could be successful at your job, at your career, at your calling, at your ministry, and still have a haunted heart. David was successful, yet his heart was haunted. You can have an amazing ministry and still have a haunted heart. You can have a fill in the blank and still go home and be haunted by. If David, a man after God's own heart, admitted in 4 verses and stepped back and said there's been a process of my heart just getting shattered, so much so that I can't face an enemy that I'm actually used to facing through the strength and power of God. And so let me give you an example of a haunting. I said, Pastor, where are you going with this? Well, I'll be honest with you, as a dad, right? And I always share this with you, like the number one thing. And I'll be honest with you, like there's a lot of things that like I grew up in that I'm consciously trying not to repeat. And then there's things that I grew up in that I'm consciously trying to repeat. And it's like that always deciphering in our mind. Ashley and I very rarely go out on a date, and it's important in marriages to do that, and so we do. And it's like every time we do, somewhere through that time, we do what? We feel guilty. Well, we're not maximizing the 3 hours of the once every 9 months that we're away from them. And what are we going to do about that? Parents, have you ever felt guilty? Come on now. Ever felt guilty? Well, I didn't do enough, or I didn't say enough, or I didn't, or I didn't, or I didn't. Or maybe I could have and I didn't. Maybe it's in your profession. There's moments where you knew you could have done, but you didn't. Maybe it's in your relationships. You knew you could have, but you didn't. And then all of a sudden, you know what that does? 9 months ago, it planted. And so something that had previously happened planted. And then by the time the actual enemy came, David was defeated. And so then, right, we keep letting those thoughts, well, those 3 hours, I mean, we could have had a moment with the kids, and I think we missed out on it, and I think that, and then all of a sudden it's like, I think dads and moms and grandparents and aunts and uncles, and we, man, we just so get so guilt-ridden. Well, if I had done this, then if I had. And so we find, that's just one example, and I don't know what haunts you in the depth of, but that's just one example. In fact, if we look at David, there's multiple times where basically he said, put your hope in the Lord. He is my, I mean, we could go on. In fact, I could spend the rest of this time, right, just calling out all the things that David said God was. Tremendous things. My help, and I mean, I could throw out really famous verses all morning long. But see, the problem is, and the problem for David in this moment, is a statement I want you to think about. The reason that stuff keeps defeating you is because stuff keeps surprising you. Well, what do you mean? Well, here's the thing, right? When we have exterior things that affect our interior, let's just say addiction across the board. Probably everybody's dealt with something over the years, right? You drive by something, you see it, and then all of a sudden your mind's on a, or you go back to a friendship, and all of a sudden that friendship leads you back into, and so what you do is you say, okay, I love you, buddy, I love you, sister, but every time it leads me down, you fill it in, right? And so now I can't do that until you're ready to do it with me. I got to go over here so I don't go back down the... The crazy thing, though, we do that with those exterior things, with the interior things, right? We scroll through Facebook and we see a parent and we see the, you know, I call it highlight reel, not Facebook, but highlight reel. And we say, oh my gosh, see, I'm not like, well, oh my gosh, I'm not like, I don't do like, see, I am a failure as a dad. I am a failure as a mom. Did you see those grandparents, they and I? You see that aunt, they and I? You see that uncle, they and I? You see that teacher, they and I? And then all of a sudden it's like, because what did we do? We didn't set up. We let it surprise us. We let it step in. We see something. We hear something. And all of a sudden it builds on the seed from 9 months ago. Drove by a haunted house. It said, prepare to be scared. I was like, isn't that what a haunted house is? I mean, it's kind of odd to like advertise that, right? I mean, maybe there's levels of like haunted houses, so some are more haunted and maybe some aren't scary. I don't know. I haven't gone to one in a long time. Used to go to them a lot. But interestingly enough, I kind of think like when you go to a haunted house, you're kind of prepared, right? But I think when dealing with our heart, we aren't prepared. We aren't prepared. if it was our heart, I don't want to say real, but like our actual like physical heart that beats, when something goes wrong, we do what? We go to the doctor and we try to get it fixed. We get prayed over. We get anointed. We get like, we take things like seriously, right? And then if we come off our medication, we're pretty sure in our mind, like if it kept my, you know, well then it, if I go off of it, then but with our heart, it just seems like we just kind of fly by the seat of our pants. Interestingly enough, David, say David. David, man. In 27, like Psalm 27, he was at a different place in his life. In fact, in Psalm 27, like he was like on fire and things were rolling, and he said things like this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Good time in his life. It's easy to say, "The Lord's my light and my salvation," when things are going well. It's easy to say, "The Lord's my light and my salvation," when my heart is clear. When I've gotten rid of the guilt, when I've gotten rid of the, and I've gotten rid of the, and it no longer haunts me. And then fast forward a little bit, and things aren't going so well, and he's in anguish, thinking about in his mind about flying to another place, staying there, and then running. Same David. And so I think as we step through this, first thing we have to do is we have to think about exposure. We have to think about exposing it. We have the light to expose it. Church, you have the light. You have the access. You have the ability, because where light is, right? Well, what do you mean by that? Well, there's a lot of people that I privately journey with. I don't actually share, and sometimes I don't even, actually, a lot of times I don't even share with her. People will say, "Hey, I'm going through this, and like one other person knows, and you, and I need somebody to hold me accountable." I'm like, okay, I can do that. You know what happens, right? With the thing that's haunting your heart, you go to your spiritual friend or your pastor or like your spiritual mother or your spiritual aunt or the person that you trust, like biblically, and you say to them, "Hey, this is in my heart. I don't know what to do with it, but boy, is it dealing with me. And so I'm going to just say to you, can you partner with me?" And hopefully we're past the stage of the church in general where we convict and point fingers, and we instead say, "Hey, let me wrap my arms around you and let's journey through this together." The problem with that is that when light comes in and exposure happens and now we're journeying, what strength does the enemy have in that guilt, in that shame, in that... What happens when she calls another mom and says, "I feel awful, I went on a date," and she says, don't do that. She called her own mom and said it, and she said, "Don't do that. Don't worry, don't stress, don't. You are. Then all of a sudden, she begins to build her back up, and then she's okay. See, what happens is when light comes in, and what's crazy is David knows, because he was one that said it. In fact, a lot of the things the Hobby Lobby has, guess where it came from? David's mouth, inspired by God. We were there yesterday, or I was while you were, yeah. So, you know, I like Hobby Lobby. There's a Grinch mug. Are you going to get it for me? Okay, it's half off. Oh, it's done. That's next week. I don't know if it's half off. But anyway, see, what happened is he had forgotten that the light. Think about this thing. Before I put the light on you, you look like guilt. But now you look like an opportunity for grace. See, it's not that the guilt went away. It's just that now I see my guilt as an opportunity for grace to step in. Man, and when you're in loving spiritual relationships, you can journey together in what maybe 10 years ago would have been dark stuff in your heart. And now we're saying, "No, let's just get it out, because it's going to eat you up." It's all about unmasking. All right, let's have fun. She likes, what do they call, like horror movies and stuff? Yes, you do. Slasher, okay. She says there's a difference. Okay, we don't watch horror, we watch slasher, so a lot of killing. Don't, youth, sorry. They don't watch it with us. Isn't that like too, we watch it, we don't let our kids watch it. Anyway, okay, that's not consistency. But here's the deal. A lot of times in those slasher movies, there's like a, you know, a process, and all of a sudden, my wife always says to me, and kind of ruins it, she's like, "You know, if they've not introduced the character, then it's not some like mystery person. There's always a, and then it'll be revealed, and so you've seen it, you just don't know who it is, and then they get to where they finally defeat it, it's all fake, and they rip the mask off, and it's like, you're my best friend, why would you, you know what I mean, like, right? Yeah, okay, nobody, this is church. Anyway, okay, hey, none of them watch a slasher movie. I will never use that again. Ain't none been a haunted house, but okay, or a corn maze or anything. So, Scream, yeah. And they reveal it, and all of a sudden, what happened? They recognize that somewhere they misstepped. Somewhere they, see, here's the thing. When we unmask things, when we begin to take those things off and say, you know what, enemy, you don't have power here anymore. My pastor knows, my mama knows, my aunt knows, my spiritual friend knows. And when it comes up, I'm gonna reach for the light. See, all of a sudden, the power goes away. Let's take it a little further. You want to take it a little further? Just say yes. Okay. Let me give you another example. Growing up in New Jersey, there was this, we called it the Christian corn maze, but it wasn't. It was just not as bad as the other one that was in town, so we went to that one, okay? I'm sorry. I went three times to it because I had three different groups of friends. I was three different people, not one identity. Anyway, and so I had like work, school, and this other group. And so they all wanted to go to the same thing, so I like made up the dates and went three times. And it was on a Friday night. And so, because you don't want to go Saturday night because church is on Sunday, right? You get it together, go to church. Okay. Anyway, so Friday night, went to it with my first set of friends. It was at night. It was scary. And every bit of it was scary. You screamed. You heard all the things and went home. The next week I went. And I thought, I hope they like, you know, mix it up. Well, then we turned the first corner. I still remember the same exact thing. I was like, oh, this isn't that exciting. You know, my friends are all excited. So I'm like, ah, you know. And then you go to the next. And then all of a sudden you realize what? It's all the same. So the third week we go, we were going to go to TGI Fridays afterwards. TGI Fridays. You remember that place? It's like old and junky now. But anyway, they had like a sampler plate that I really liked and a milkshake. So I was like, I'm going to go. But I said to them, I don't want to pay $35. That was a lot 20 years ago, okay? Like, that's a lot of money. I don't want to pay it again and then go to eat. It's like a $50 night. And so they said, no, we want you to come and experience it. I didn't have the heart to say I've been here twice, but I don't want to say that because they're like, well, who'd you go with? You don't want to go down that road, right? And so I said, all right, let's do it. And I literally did nothing the whole time but sit there and think about TGI Fridays, right? Because it didn't scare me anymore. It wasn't exciting. It wasn't, I mean, imagine if like they advertised, instead of prepared to be scared, prepare for the lights to be on. Well, if the lights are on in a haunted house, you see that the chainsaw doesn't have a chain. And then you see that when they like stab the thing, the knife bends and pops the ketchup, and like you begin to realize it's not as exciting when it's in the light. And then you begin to realize the more you're in the light and the more you get it exposed, the less power it has, the less excitement it has, the less reality it has over your life. So think with me here. I'm going to give you a statement. I got this from a theologian. I realize that the devil roars about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I found out he doesn't have any teeth. All he can do is roar, because even if he kills me, I get to still reign with Christ in death. So what happens when you go back and then back and then back through the haunted corn maze on a hayride? You realize, as light comes, as you recognize, as you see, that stuff ain't scary. The enemy has no power. When you turn the lights on, you realize it's not a chainsaw, it's just a noise box. And then all of a sudden, as God allows his light to shine because you said, yes, come in, its power is gone. The enemy can't, because immediately when it comes, you text the pastor and say, hey, this is happening. And I'm like, all right, well, let's get on our knees and let's commit it. And then what excitement does the enemy get out of that? Because no longer is he getting aroused, no longer is the guilt working, no longer is the... David said, he is my salvation. And so we get to this exposure. When we take the mask off and we see it for what it really is, and most of the time, guess what? Once we get to exposing it, that guilt, rebuke that, release it, say it doesn't have power over, it doesn't have, it's just, interestingly enough, like, do you remember the scripture, like the eagle scripture, mount up on wings like eagles, right? Crazy. David actually said in this psalm, he said, I'd like to get on a dove. Now, I don't know about a dove. Like, imagine me on a dove. You know what I mean? Like, That poor, you'd need like 1,500 doves to like, you know, an eagle I could see like maybe, you know what I mean, getting me like right there and back down. But anyway, it isn't about that, right? It's about the fact that David knows, and he actually spoke out of his own mouth, when your heart is and your enemy, you don't, because God just says, hey, I want you to see above. I want you to see, I want you to know that this isn't your end. This isn't your story. This isn't your. But see, light has to come. Then exposure comes. Then we're mounting up on wings like eagles because of the presence of God and the light and exposure. And so each of us have wings. I want to call out the wings, because here's the deal. When we get to the depths of what's in the closets of our hearts, it's going to take some work. David said in verse 4, I didn't just get here overnight. I'm laboring like a woman in labor because it's been months coming. He forgot something. He forgot that he had wings, and some of the wings that I think he forgot was the wing called the word. In fact, words he actually spoke that God put in his heart, he forgot them. He forgot about the Spirit of God moving on the earth. Oftentimes we forget about the Spirit of God that's calling to move in us. We have other wings. They're called the people of God. And I hope and I believe this for our church. I believe that you could share with anybody anything. And they might have to swallow, but they're going to say, okay, I want to journey with you. That's at least my challenge. But I believe he called us a people of God to support people of God, to journey, to say, you know what, thank you for sharing. Let's start the journey. I think he also gave us some other wings, and they're called worship. Some of you are musically inclined, so you need that. There's other wings called prayer. I mean, I could keep going. And so, three final thoughts. Turn the lights on. This isn't exterior in. Remember, we did away with that. This is in places that only you can communicate. I can't predict. I can't, like, magically, only you can turn the lights on in those places. David said in that psalm, only I was the only one that got me here, and I'm the only one that can get God back here. So are you willing to turn the lights on? Think about this statement. New realities will be created when consistent exposure is present. I want to use my same analogy here and just think about this for a second. So they go for 6 weeks with this corn maze scary thing in New Jersey. And I was thinking about this. Had I gone the first night, right? Got scared and all that. And then my friend said, let's go the last weekend. 6 weeks later. Had I done that and gone 6 weeks later, I'm pretty sure after 6 weeks, I would have what? I probably would have forgotten some things. I would have forgotten some turns. It was so fresh because it was like the Friday before and then the Friday before. You know, it's like basically like 6 weeks ago, if I said, what did I say 6 weeks ago? You would say, let me out of here, release us. You know what I mean? Then, right? You know what I mean? Because you don't remember what I said. Okay, anyway. Or maybe you do. Okay, but the deal is 6 weeks later, at the close of it, had I not been there since the first week, I'm pretty sure some of those moments would have been scary. I'm pretty sure some of those moments I would have forgotten. And see, here's the thing. When we are consistently allowing the work of the Holy Spirit through all the different wings that we're given, and we do it consistently, I believe you can have new realities in your heart. And I believe that David knew that. But for 9 months, he wasn't consistent. For 9 months, he was letting his mind get caught up in. For 9 months, you were. For 9 months, I was. For 9 months. And then after the 9 months, after the first week to the sixth week, things got a little scarier. Because I believe that only new realities will be created when consistent exposure is present. You can't just do it one and done. And the addiction's just... You can't just do it one and that thought from your childhood's just, you can't do it once and that guilt just, her mom has to remind her all the time that she's not a terrible parent. I tell her, but There's something about our mom saying, hey, you got this and you're doing it, right? There's something about our mom when she says it that it just, it pierces, and she's like, okay, you're right. Like, I may not be perfect, but I'm loving in the best I know how. But she has to do that a lot to not step into guilt. And then the last thing is, you can only ask you this. What needs exposure? You're going to see in the next 3 weeks, the people that we're going to talk about, all of them had moments where exposure should have come. And I think it would have changed everything. I think when you decide it's time, that exposure to the light of Christ can change everything. Love you all. Make steps. Be real with yourself. Really let the hauntings that are haunting you today, let them come under the light of Christ. It will change everything. And then bring people alongside of you. And then put barriers in your heart when they come. Worship, people, the Spirit, the Word, even past victories. David forgot. He forgot the past victories. Let them come to your mind. Write them down. Remember them. Read them. Because I believe that Christ has new realities for each and every one of your hearts. Because he's all about the heart. And when he gets with you, he's going to say, Joe, where was your heart? Let's look at it. God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for your Spirit being here today. But God, you placed on my heart, this is one of those series that are going to move, and we're going to develop, and we're going to grow, and we're going to begin to really say, okay, enemy, no more. No more power do you have inside of. And so let us put up the same barriers that we do on the outside, on the inside. And God, I pray right now a prayer of protection for everyone in this room, for everyone in the room behind us, in the rooms upstairs. God, that you would just move. God, we love you, we praise you, we ask your presence to be known in the life of this church this week and in the life of each person represented here. We trust you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. How's Papa?